Please be seated, and at this time, one of our confirmands, Robert Wright, will read our scripture, first from Hebrews and then from Philippians.
The scripture reading for today is from Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day approaching. And also from Philippians 2, 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure.
Well, good morning to everyone. Today's sermon really isn't for anybody out there. I'm really addressing just the confirmation class this morning, so everybody else can go back to sleep if you want. But what I want to do this morning is I want to tell you two stories this morning about lawns. And the first story happened when I was about your age, maybe a little bit younger than you are. I grew up in a very 1950s house during the 1970s, and what that means is that my sisters and I had very specific jobs around the house to do. For my sisters, they were responsible for helping to clean up dishes after dinner, and we sort of had a dishwasher. Its name was Janice and Arlene. I had to take out the trash and do other outdoor chores. Whenever it snowed, my dad was the first to wake, and as soon as I heard the scrape of that shovel on the driveway underneath my bedroom window, that was my five-minute warning that I had to get up and get outside and help clear the driveway. And during the summers, my job was mowing the lawn. It was from the time that I was 9 or 10, every week during the summer, the lawn needed to be mowed. It was, of course, fun at first pushing around this big engine, and I thought that it was really cool to be able to do that, but the charm wore off after a little while. Now, the worst part of mowing the lawn, as I just said, is mowing it every week during the summer. There were so many more interesting things to do during the summer. A couple of my friends had pools. There was stickball. It was about that time that I started to play tennis. And so this one summer back when I was about 11 years old, I was watching some news show with my parents. Now, why was I watching news at 11? Well, back then we only had 7 channels on TV and only 1 TV in our house. And since my parents had the first choice, I got to watch the news a lot. And so we were watching the news, and there was this garden segment, and they were talking about how to care for your lawn in the spring to have a healthy lawn all summer long. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you fertilize it, but don't use too much fertilizer, because if you use too much fertilizer, you'll burn out the lawn. And when you mow the lawn, make sure that you don't cut it too short, because if you cut it too short, it will burn out the lawn as well. And at 11 years of age, I took all of this in and weighed the idea of mowing the lawn all summer long against playing in my friend's pool. And so when it came to fertilize the lawn, I opened up the valve to the largest opening so I could put the most amount of fertilizer down. When it came time to cut the lawn, I set the lawnmower at the lowest level possible. I fertilized it a second time at the beginning of June because it looked like the grass was getting a little bit of brown, and I convinced my mom that it needed more fertilizer because it wasn't working. And as I recall, it was a drier than normal spring, so the grass got very little water, and I, of course, never set the sprinklers to go. Any sign of life got an extra handful of weed and feed around the lawn, and by the end of school, when summer began, my work was done. That lawn was burnt out. It's a miracle I made it to my teenage years. Fast forward about 15 years from where you are today, and I was buying my first house. It's the only house that I've ever owned that I was responsible for the lawn in. And when you own your own house, you want your lawn to be nice and green. So I hired a company, and they came in, and they took care of the lawn. They applied the proper amount of fertilizer. Whenever I saw something growing in my lawn that I didn't like, I called this company up and I said, come, take care of it. And they would apply a treatment to get rid of the particular weed or bug on my lawn. I set my lawn to the highest level to make sure that it was retaining every bit of moisture because my house was in South Florida. I would alternate the direction that I mowed the lawn because somehow that makes your lawn stronger as well. One week I would mow it vertically, the next horizontally, the next diagonally. I had a sprinkler system that would turn on every morning at about 5 a.m., four different zones around the house. And I spent time on weekends adjusting that sprinkler system so that every inch of the lawn got watered. And my diligence paid off with a beautifully green manicured lawn. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Well, what I want to talk with you very briefly this morning, because there's a lot going on in the service, I want to share two simple things with the confirmation class to encourage you as you make your professions of faith. Today, you are publicly declaring your faith in Jesus Christ, and you are confessing the faith of the church in which you were baptized. You are promising to learn from the wisdom of the prophets to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And you are promising to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ and to share in the ministry here in the church and wherever you go. And from this point on, your faith can turn out like one or the other lawns in my story. And it depends on what you do from this point forward. You know, it's so easy after today to involve yourselves in all sorts of activities that get in the way of gathering together and worshiping God. There are sports on the weekends. There are opportunities, certainly during the summer, to go down the shore, maybe in the fall and in the winter to go skiing or something like that. Maybe you find it easier to sleep in until noon because as teenagers, you know, we love sleeping in until noon. Or maybe you got into an argument with somebody at church and that's causing you to not really want to be around somebody in church. You know, there are all sorts of things that we can substitute or replace or make an excuse for coming to worship, aren't there? And the more than more that we don't gather together and worship, the more that our faith sort of dies, doesn't it? It's kind of like me cutting the grass too short and over-fertilizing it and not watering it on purpose. Because, you know, I knew eventually that would kill the lawn. And eventually not meeting together and coming to the church will do the same to our faith, or at least not make it so important in our lives. The writer of the book of Hebrews puts it this way. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another. Coming to church is important. It's important to continue to encourage one another in our faith. And secondly, I spend a lot of time thinking about faith. Granted, I do this professionally these days. But long before I became a minister, which was only about 12 years ago, about the time that you all were being born, in those earlier years of my life, I wandered around in various Protestant denominations. I've been in the Episcopal Church, the Lutheran Church, the Congregational Church, and the United Church of Christ. Evangelical churches, Assemblies of God, and some others that I probably don't even remember going to at this point. And I wandered because I was searching. I was asking questions. I was wondering about my faith. I never wanted to settle for simple answers. In fact, if somebody ever gave me a simplistic answer, it caused me to first reject that answer and then to continue asking questions until I was satisfied with the answers. And for me, it really came together when I was in seminary. And I was making a decision to become Presbyterian, and in particular, to join the Presbyterian Church USA. And my search settled here because the Presbyterian Church USA is the most diverse of all the Presbyterian denominations. And it's also the one that helped me explore my questions in the fullest way. Not pushing me away from the controversial topics, but allowing me to ask my questions and to wrestle with the answers that I was being given. We are composed as a denomination of people who are very conservative and very liberal, and everything that is in between. And I bounced those questions that were bothering me off every person who would listen and talk with me. And we had amazing discussions. It's important to nurture our faith and make sure that we are taking care of it. It's important to have a place to ask those questions, because as you ask those questions, as you seek understanding, your faith will be strengthened. It's sort of like the way that I made sure to water the grass of my own lawn and to apply the proper amount of fertilizer and to mow it in the right way. It gave a very healthy lawn. The Apostle Paul puts it this way regarding our faith. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It is God who is at work within you, enabling you to will and to work for God's good pleasure. And what that meant for me was that it was okay to ask questions and to understand my faith in new ways, to be able to work out understanding what it was that I believed, and to know that I don't have all the answers, even as a minister. I'm telling you, I don't have all the answers. That God is still working in myself, as well as Rick and Todd and Barb. My prayer for you, and I say this on behalf of all the pastors here, the staff, your mentors, your family, and the entire congregation, is that today is just the beginning of the rest of your life, of searching out your faith. And we hope that your search continues in the context of the church wherever you go, whether it's the next 4 years of high school here at First Caldwell, or wherever college or school takes you, or wherever life's journeys takes you. I pray that you would have the opportunity to question, to consider, to learn about your faith and of God. May God's blessings be with you. Amen.